Science fiction writer Philip K. Dick once noted that in a one-party system, there's always a landslide. Hi, I'm Charles Goyette, and this is Ron Paul and Charles Goyette, the weekly podcast. Well, it was a good midterm election for Republicans, bad election for Barack Obama, a major repudiation, bad election for the Democrats. But was it anything more than a landslide for the state? What does it really mean for the American people? Does it mean fiscal responsibility going forward? Sound money? Smaller? Less intrusive government? Don't hold your breath. It looks like a win for the military-industrial complex. More war, more empire, more provocations around the world. And even the intelligence-industrial complex got a win out of the thing. Dr. Paul, is there any place you can look where the fundamental issues that determine our freedom and prosperity got a leg up in the election?
I've been searching. I saw one report. I don't know how true it is, but the pro-gun ownership people were claiming some victory, and that is a possibility. But there's been a momentum in that direction anyway. Some of the liberals are giving up on it, and some of the evidence is overwhelming that if you have a right to own a gun in a city, crime rates go down. So if that's there, that's fine. But I think your concerns are very much much justified. And it does bother me about the whole process of election because most of us, I'm sure, including you, that we don't see a whole lot of difference between the two parties. So it's one party. People ask me, do you think we should have a third party? And of course, I always get a laugh when I say, I'm waiting for the second party. And that's what we need. We need competition because it's really a monopoly on this. And the other thing that we hear so incessantly is this, well, I don't care how you vote, but just get out there and vote. We need your vote, which is a bunch of baloney. They don't really mean that. They're usually talking, if it's a Republican audience, they're expecting only Republicans to go out. If it's a Democrat group, they're thinking they're going to turn out. So this whole idea, just turn out, it just to vote doesn't mean anything. Of course, you know, the more authoritarian a society is, sometimes the more votes turn out because everybody voted in the communist system. 98% supported the dictators, so which means absolutely nothing. What really matters is what they're voting for, what the ideas are, and whether there is a real debate and a real challenge going on. But these elections that we go through, it's to me a big charade. It's more than just a neutral charade. It's really designed to make the people believe there's a real contest going on, and the contest is not there. And they argue over the little things, and the big things there's no debate. And sometimes in Washington, what would happen if there was a major piece of legislation going on? Boy, you would hear all the grandiose debates on the House floor. Back in the old days, they actually used to pass in the House and then the Senate and then go to a conference. But then they would do whatever they wanted in conference. That doesn't happen now. What happens is there's a lot of grandstanding for the bases of each party. But then they get together and they agree on a omnibus bill. And they just put everything together and nobody was in there. And there's more spending for both sides. And nothing ever changes. So I don't think there's a whole lot to cheer about, for the people and for the cause of liberty. And I was thinking there was one particular race, and I'm sure you got wind of this particular race. It was really disturbing. I hopefully all the races don't represent the views of this individual, but I think they lean in that direction because, if anything, I think this election sort of showed that the libertarian movement that gave us the Tea Party movement was quickly morphed into a militaristic Tea Party by the Republican Party. Now I think the Tea Party movement is dead. We didn't hear any talk of Tea Party or libertarians winning anything last night and in this past election. But I think that if people don't realize that there isn't any difference, they're going to continue to do these things constantly. And yet the individual that I wanted to mention, and I usually don't go into names, but I think this is important for people to be aware of it, because quite frankly, I didn't follow all the elections like I have in the past and didn't know a whole lot about him. But a member of Congress from Arkansas ran, and beat an incumbent Democratic senator in Arkansas, Tom Cotton. Nice young man, you know, nice wife, 37 years old, able to speak clearly, but wrong on all the issues. And what really scares me is he probably is as dedicated to authoritarianism in a principled sort of way as we are for defending liberty. But he has in the past written a letter that said that anybody who's in the media and reports anything about a domestic spying program just reports it. Should be on behind bars. And he went to Harvard, you know, that good libertarian school that he attended. and when he was in Harvard, his paper was designed, you know, one of his I guess his graduate paper, that only the intellectually gifted elites should rule the country. And that sounds pretty dangerous to me, because I believe he believes it. And so we know where he'll stand on Iraq. I bet you he'll be hanging around McCain and Graham a lot more than he'll be hanging around with my son in the Senate. And I think, unfortunately, the Senate and the House is moving in that direction. Boehner has always been really a strong critic of Obama. And Republicans, attack Obama. Obama's caused all these trouble. But he was always attacking Obama because Obama wouldn't kill enough people, wouldn't bomb enough countries, didn't invade enough countries, wouldn't put the boots on the ground. So that is what we're up against. So I think when the dust settles, you're going to see a movement in the wrong direction. And I think, unfortunately, Justin Amash and Thomas Massie and a few other very good libertarians in the House, I think they will continue to be marginalized. I hope they have a couple of surprises and that they got some more help. But right now, I can't find them.
Well, I'm glad you singled out Cotton, but he is not alone and not worthy of being singled in the sense of that he's an odd man out. He seems to represent the new voice of the Republican Party today, and I'm sad to report it. On the other hand, on the hand of monetary policy, Dr. Paul, I can't think of a meaningful difference between Harry Reid's and John Boehner's positions on the Federal Reserve and monetary policy. Is there one?
Yeah, politically speaking. I don't think, believe deep down in their hearts. You remember Reid. Harry Reid, a couple years ago, did a great video when he, I don't think he was the, you know, the Senate leader. And he came down hard. Oh, yeah, the Fed is a terrible institution. We need to audit them, until he was in a position to do something about it. Now, in the last, Boehner has permitted two votes in the House of Representatives, one during the last campaign and one since then, and with a bipartisan support, Republicans and Democrats, and a bill that I pushed for a long time. They voted for it overwhelmingly. So that means it's a shoe-in. Even McConnell knew which way to go politically, and he's been supportive of it and said favorable things. But does that mean that Boehner's going to bring this up in January and have a vote on it, and that McConnell's going to push it? I wish that were so, but I'll have to see that before I believe it, because I think the power elite know exactly what they're doing and how far they can go, and they're not about to give up the secrecy of the Federal Reserve and that back up to bail out the rich and bail out the banks and make sure the stock market stays up as the poor get poorer and the rich get richer. They'll challenge it by rhetoric, but they will not challenge it, because quite frankly, just to give them a bit of an excuse, is they don't have the vaguest idea what free market economics is all about. It's not like they reject it outright, but essentially none of them have really read Rothbard or Mises or Hayek or any of these people. They have some who tend to be more conservative and fiscally responsible to a degree are the supply side. Well, supply siders wanted, you know, lower taxes, which was good. I like that. But they also taught this principle, which was a Keynesian principle: deficits don't matter. Why should conservatives worry about deficits? And it was that combination. Look at what happened to the deficits under Reagan, and what's happened every time Republicans in charge under Bush. The deficits explode because they, on principle, believe, hey, let's not overdo this deficit. And right now, they'll probably say, look, we got out of that horrible, horrible threat of a depression, and we didn't have the depression. We just had this limited depression for half of the population, but the stock market stayed up, so everything is okay. So, no, I don't think it'll move along, but, you know, on doing a tweet during the election, I did make a statement, you know, looking for something to be hopeful for. And that was one thing I hoped for, but I was making no predictions. I'd be very cautious in making any predictions that we would ever move closer to the audit. And besides, the president would veto it right now anyway. But the Republicans that I knew in the Senate, other than that handful, were very much in favor of the Fed. So they're not even going to get the Republican vote, let alone the Democrats.
And speaking of secrecy, it looks like a win for the intelligence industrial complex. We've touched on that in part, but one of the most visible manifestations of the win for them would be if the long-awaited Senate report on torture somehow disappeared down the memory hole, and maybe that was the strategy to keep from releasing it until after the election, until the new Senate is in place.
Boy, that is interesting. That's something we need to be keeping an eye on, but those kind of things sort of get lost in the changeover. Like when the Republicans take hold in the of the Senate, and of course continue with the House in January and early February, I think one of the things they're going to do is probably deal with the pipeline. Immediately, I thought, well, yeah, this looks like they can deliver a bill. But you know what I think about? Because anytime they finally have a consensus and think they have to do something, they'll probably come up with a bill that has money in it and also the right of eminent domain. And it will be one that if I were there, I'd probably not be able to support it. But it won't be a clean bill. The House, you know, the Congress could just pass a bill and say a particular state has the authority to deal with Canada and have a pipeline come across international borders. And that would be it. The rest would be up to property rights in states to build a pipeline. But I'll be interested in seeing that. And then if that's the case, they're not going to have as much interest in digging up a report. Most of the time, you know, when Obama took over, he never revealed the deep, dark secrets of the Bush, even though they condemned them the whole time they were campaigning. The same way when Republicans have a better chance, they're not going to reveal, you know, the secrets that the American people want. And that, of course, is one of our biggest threats, is government is totally secret and the people have lost their privacy.
One last question. I wonder if the fur will fly, if Obama will go ahead and pursue the course that he has talked about, saying that he has a pen and he has a phone, and pursue unilateral action on things like amnesty for illegal aliens and so on.
Well, in a way, if he does, that might be something that is worthwhile in the sense that wake up the Republicans. You know, if he comes out and he says, well, it looks like we have to do something, let's work it out. And if he gets together and they can get Republican leadership to agree as along with Obama, my prediction is it wouldn't be, you know, all that great. Once again, it'll cost a lot of money and it won't deal with just freeing up travel as much as it will be continue to subsidize those who have come illegally and making sure everybody gets medical care and education and all these things. So, but if next week or so he just uses, you know, the executive orders, maybe this would really wake up the Republicans about having any smooth sailing. But then again, on some of these issues, the Republicans are going to be split too. So there'll be a lot of things that won't be as smooth as they had hoped it would be.
Well, Dr. Paul, we thank you again for your comments. I saw an observation on the web the other day. Somebody said, how can we expect the Republicans and Democrats to change the status quo when they are the status quo?
Yeah, there you go.
All right. And thank you, Dr. Paul, for another informative conversation. And don't forget that you can subscribe to our weekly podcast on iTunes. I'm Charles Guyette.